This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Okay, ladies, this question is for you. So you're working, but maybe there comes a time when you decide you want to have children. And of course you wonder what impact being a mom would have on your family, on your relationships, on your life. But don't you also, deep down, really worry about what impact it would have on your career? Women we spoke to today in Boston's financial district do.
Me personally, I worked for 10 to 12 years before I decided to have children, and I think that, you know, you have to just establish that career. But it'll probably affect my advancement in the future, yeah, because I won't be able to work 80 hours a week anymore. I just can't.
So if you're a woman and you want to achieve something in your career, if the metric is money and you have kids, I can imagine it's hard.
Well, it turns out those women are right to worry, because a new study out of Harvard finds that women who step out of management careers even briefly for motherhood end up earning a whopping 75% less than men in finance in the long run. They don't get the key promotions, and in short, being a mom can be a career killer. And while the problem is magnified in the corporate set, it is certainly not restricted to it. So let me ask you, is there a motherhood penalty when it comes to careers? Have you experienced it yourself? Why is it so hard to bounce back when you've been out of the workforce on maternity leave? And what does it say about the corporate world, about all industries, when women still feel that work is pitted against motherhood? You can join us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also, as always, comment online as well at wbur.org/Boston. Well, we're joined today by Claudia Golden. She's professor of economics at Harvard University, and she co-authored this new study called Dynamics of the Gender Gap for Young Professionals in the Financial and Corporate Sectors. Claudia Golden, and welcome to Radio Boston.
Well, thanks very much, Meghna.
Well, so let me just start by asking you, you focus particularly on finance and the business world. Why is that? And who exactly did you look at when you did this motherhood study?
Right. We began by looking at a host of different occupations. And what we found by doing that, and these were Harvard graduates from 1969 to 1992, and we found that in the four major professions, degrees, MBA, JD, that's law, PhD, MD, all medical degrees, we found that it was the MBAs who had the largest penalty for taking time out. The MDs had the smallest, PhDs next, and JDs next.
Okay, so overall, just to sort of step back for a second and get a little big picture here, there is still a gender gap in pay across the workforce between men and women. I read that it's roughly now, today, it's 23% less that women make than men. But you found that the gap was biggest, as you said, amongst those MBAs. How big was it?
Well, the gap that I'm talking about is for taking time out.
Okay.
So it's true that the gap is largest for those who are in occupations where people are way out there, let's say, in the right tail of the income distribution, such as MBAs, such as MDs.
Meaning those people who are earning a lot.
Who are earning a tremendous amount, those that Lady Gaga would call filthy rich. But we found out in this study that we can explain a tremendous amount of that by hours differences and time out. But it's still the case that there is a very large penalty, very large in the corporate and financial sectors, for deviation from the norm. And the norm is the male norm. You stay in the workforce, you work long hours, just as that woman said. She's working 80 hours a week. That's pretty much incompatible with having a good family life.
Okay, so this is really struck me, because basically what you're saying is that women who take time out from work who are in the corporate and financial world, they take a huge hit when it comes to pay in the long run and promotions. And that hit is even bigger than lawyers or doctors. I would think that those are professions that are as time intensive, as work oriented as anyone in finance.
That's exactly right. But if you take time out as a medical doctor, you are getting a hit. It's just not as great as it is in the financial and the corporate sector. In the financial and the corporate sector, taking time out is probably the case. You're losing clients. You're losing the promotions. As a medical doctor, you get there. You have your clients. It's sort of 1 hour, one amount of pay. If you take fewer hours, you get less pay. But in the corporate sector, in the financial sector, you're getting a tremendous amount less.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, we've got some callers already on the line. You can join us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. What do you make of what may seem to be a motherhood penalty when it comes to work? Rebecca is calling from Beverly. Welcome to Radio Boston, Rebecca.
Hi there, Magna. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. What's your thought today?
Well, you know, this is really relevant for me. I'm a former senior vice president in the financial services industry, and I ended up having my first child in my mid-40s, and it was an absolute gift. But what I discovered very quickly after about a year and a half was that I simply couldn't be the mother that I wanted to be and perform my job in the same way. And while, it, you know, the line of, or the corporate speak is that you can do it both and we balance work life, the reality is it didn't work at all. And I paid the price, and I finally resigned, and making about half of what my normal annual bonus would have been.
Wow, your total income was half of your annual bonus.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, the other part of it is I'm much happier. I love what I do now, and I have more time with my child, but there are moments when I certainly regret the having lost the financial insecurity.
Wow. Rebecca, thank you so much for your call. Let me just get Claudia Golden to respond to that. I mean, she seems like a person you could have actually put in your study, like a case study of the impact that motherhood has.
Absolutely. And what we see in the study in particular is that, and I don't know if this is true for Rebecca, the women who have MBAs from the University of Chicago, and that's the group that we looked at, who leave the workforce after they have kids, generally leave a year or two after they have their first child, and their husbands make a fairly large amount of money.
Is that part of what's influencing this? I mean, you're talking about, honestly, when it comes to looking at the workforce overall, a very small subset of women. And as you said, they have husbands who are earning a lot. So maybe exiting the workforce or not getting those promotions isn't as big a deal.
Well, in some sense it is. I heard in Rebecca's voice some regret. I mean, this is her career. It is part of her personal identity, for sure. The other thing we should remember is that the fraction of this total group that are leaving after having kids isn't that large. So it's about 20%.
It's just that they're stalled in their careers.
They're stalled. That's right.
Well, I want to bring in another voice into this conversation. It's Jamie Ladd. She's an assistant professor of management and development at Northeastern University and a faculty affiliate at the Boston College Center for Work and Family. Jamie Ladd, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
So, I mean, Claudia Golden's study is just, on the one hand, for working women, maybe they're just staring at their radio and saying it confirms what we already know, Meghna. But on the other hand, it's really remarkable. How much can we extrapolate into how much there of a motherhood penalty there is outside of the world of, you know, the highest levels of corporations and finance?
Well, I think, let me just speak to the idea of the financial sector and it being that it's a sector where the jobs, there's very little flexibility in the jobs. So the women that do have children that want that flexibility, it's very difficult to do in the financial sector because you're bound by time frames. And as Claudia mentioned, these sort of ideal worker norms of working sort of 80 hours a week and being around the clock. So and I also just speak to the idea that is it sustainable, or if you've got a spouse that's working that many hours, mm-hmm. how are you going? One of you has to make that trade-off in terms of being able to care for your child. And I think what happens with a lot of women is they ask themselves, well, one, is it sustainable, but is it even worth it in the end to be able to continue on that path without having that flexibility? You know, there's other sectors that have a little bit more flexibility. I think in medicine, let's say I have several friends who are doctors who have young children who are able to go part time for some period of time and then get back into a full time situation without having too much of a wage penalty later on.
And this is after they've gone through the grueling years, I presume, of their education, their residencies, their internships, et cetera.
That's right. And so they have a period of time where they're building up their career, as you would in the corporate sector and other sectors. But then when they have children, maybe they can, there's a little bit more flexibility in those, depending on what area of medicine you're in, as opposed to the finance sector, which is, you know, there's very little room for flexibility.
But Jamie Ladge, I am curious, from your perspective looking across industries, I mean, is there some kind of maybe as not, if not as strong or as sharp an effect as we see in finance, but is there some kind of effect on women who choose motherhood or choose to leave the workforce for a few months, no matter where they're working?
What do you mean in terms of effect?
They overall don't earn as much in the long run. They don't get the promotions they want, et cetera. Because I'm wondering, like, for people who aren't working at downtown Boston right now, working elsewhere, they're thinking, hey, you know, I see the same thing happening to me.
Right. I mean, I think you're going to see it across the board. There's been several studies over the course of the years that have shown that if you take time out to have a child, you're going to have a hit, regardless of what profession you're in terms of number of promotions and also in terms of wages. So I think you're going to see that across the board. And I want to also mention that it's not just for women. Men take a hit, too, when they take time out. They take a hit in terms of, of course, you just don't hear about it as much because they don't take it as often as women do, but they're still a hit, regardless of who you are. But this whole idea of taking time out to care for whether it's a child or an elder parent or whatever, the hit is sort of gender neutral in that regard. It's just a matter of being able to get back in while you're doing it during a period of time where you're building up your career.
Jamie Ladge, stand by for just a second. Claudia Golden as well. I just want to take another call on exactly this topic. Nick is calling from Brookline. Welcome to Radio Boston, Nick.
Hi, how you doing, Megan?
I'm doing well.
Excellent. Well, I'm just calling because I don't want to come off as a jerk or anything, but listening to the conversation, I'm confused as to sort of how there could be any surprise or distaste for this kind of thing. It's a personal life choice to have a child. Living, in the times we live in, the idea that if you were to take time, leave any position, be it corporate or, I mean, even I work in the nonprofit and I see it happening where someone leaves to take time off and advancement is going to continue to take place. And because you've chosen to take, be it, a few months off or, you know, the first year of your child's life or whatever, you're giving up time that another person is willing to keep putting in and willing to sacrifice their own desires to try to advance their career.
Hey,
so
Nick,
it's like,
Nick, just stand by for a second. Stay on the line. I want to get a response from that from Claudia Golden.
Very good. No, we're not surprised that if you work 50 hours a week versus 80 hours a week that you'd get less, or if you took a year off in a field that was very dynamic that you would lose some, we call it human capital. But it turns out that in all of the different sectors that we've looked at, the financial and the corporate sector have the largest penalties in pharmacy, optometry, veterinary medicine, regular medicine, PhDs. The penalties are just far, far less. If you work fewer hours, you get less. That's fine. If you work in a dynamic sector, you get less. But this is a lot more.
Nick, let me ask you. You said you worked in the nonprofit sector?
Yeah.
Okay. So what do you make of the idea that it's just being absent from work for a period of several months, which is problematic and that causes, that could end up putting someone's career in a deep freeze? Like, what if, you know, you were injured and had to be away for several months and that's what caused you to miss out on a promotion or miss out on pay advancement over time? I mean, does that seem like it's fair to you?
It actually does. It doesn't sound, I'm sure, if I were in that situation, I'm sure I would say, oh, this is so unfair. But the fact of the matter is, looking at it from the outside, it might be slightly unfair. It's simply the way things are. I mean, it's unavoidable. If a person can't do the job for whatever reason, there's no reason to think, I mean, if you get to hold on to your job, you're lucky. Right now, you're lucky if you even get to keep your job.
Yeah, in this economy especially. Nick, thank you so much for your call. Jamie Ladge, let me ask you this issue about, it's not just being about pay and about promotional equality that's a problem here, but just the very expectations of when it comes to family life, who's expected to take those months away from work?
Right. Well, I think just following what Nick was saying, part of it is just a problem with the way we work. Again, we have these expectations, especially in the financial sector, that there's one way to be successful, and to be successful and to be committed to our organization, we have to work 80 hours a week and be completely wedded to the organization without having a life outside of that organization. And that's part of part of the issue that I think a lot of people struggle with when they want to have a baby, or even they want to train for a marathon, or whatever they want to do outside of their work that takes them away from that, they fall into this sort of trap. Unfortunately, for a lot of women, there's still this the motherhood penalty associated with this sort of stigma of, okay, they're going to have a baby, and this happens a lot in the financial sector where there's a lot of discrimination cases against women who don't even have children but are viewed as someone who's going to have children, and the expectation that, what does that mean? Oh, that means they're going to ask for flexible, or they're going to need more flexibility in their schedule, and they're not going to be able to put in the hours.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean that women always want that, but there's still that expectation that they're going to want that. And I always throw the men back in because I think the men would want it too, but it's not socially acceptable to ask for it.
Claudia, sorry there, Jamie, but Claudia Golden, let me ask you, following up on exactly what she was saying, you had also mentioned earlier that basically there's a culture of business that doesn't want to provide this sort of flexibility, and yet we've seen that same inflexible nature change in other fields. You talk about obstetrics in particular and how there's been a major change there in terms of who leaves the workforce and reducing the negative impact of that.
Precisely. There are a lot of different sectors in which we've seen change, and sometimes the change is brought about because women begin to dominate the profession. So, for example, among pediatricians, 36% of all female pediatricians work part-time. And part-time here is under 35 hours a week. And the same thing is true for male pediatricians, not 36%, around 8% among obstetricians. It used to be that a male obstetrician would deliver your baby if the male obstetrician was your obstetrician, and now you have a group of several, and one of them will. So there's more flexibility. The large accounting firms claim that they have introduced enormous flexibility so that they do not lose as many women. Are we going to see this in the financial and the corporate sectors? Maybe as more women enter.
Let's take another call. Sheena is calling from Worcester. Welcome to Radio Boston, Sheena.
Hi, Meghna. Thank you so much for having me on the air. I'm a practicing cardiologist. I'm actually pregnant right now, and I'm dealing with a lot of these considerations, and I find the whole discussion fascinating. And I wanted to make the comment that we're talking about subspecialties, and I think when you look at the subspecialties that are male-dominated, we behave very differently than what you were just pointing out about obstetrics, for instance. You know, cardiology is a subspecialty that's entirely very male-dominated, and in order for us to get through training, during which I had two children, we have to either make a choice between radiation exposure during our pregnancies, push pregnancies off to well after 35, which, you know, puts you in gestational risk, or decide never to do those procedures after you graduate. Which are lucrative and change your entire career.
Mm.
So those are, and then even now, for instance, I'm now a new cardiologist practicing, and I'm going to go on maternity leave after I have this baby. Considerations come into how many procedures I'll be able to get for the year, because I'll be out for a certain amount of time. If I don't get my procedures for the year, I will lose privileges to do those procedures in hospitals, and there's no accommodation or thought or sort of any process that considers maternity, and you either do those procedures under radiation or you take your chances.
So it seems like every aspect of what you do as a cardiologist could be potentially or is affected by even thinking about whether or not to become a mother.
Oh, absolutely. The only reason why I'm this fortunate is because I work for someone who cares greatly about my children, as my father. But, you know, it's a consideration that during my training, someone high up above me essentially said to me, maybe you shouldn't think about cardiology if you're thinking about motherhood during your training.
Sheena, thank you so much for your call. I wanted to ask Jamie Ladge exactly about this issue. What overall is the impact of this lack of flexibility in many workplaces that we're seeing? I mean, Sheena was told she ought to think about whether or not cardiology is right for her. So I imagine that that one thing that businesses are looking at is maybe losing talent when women are forced to make these decisions.
That's exactly it. I mean, that's a huge issue. A lot of organizations are trying to build in flexible work arrangements so that they don't have the issue of losing people, especially losing women, where they're half the talent, probably and most likely in their organization. So they're trying to build in the flexibility. They just don't quite know how to do that and know quite how to create these positions that are meaningful enough that offer the flexibility in part-time work. So it's a big challenge. As Claudia mentioned, there are organizations that are trying to build sort of like Deloitte & Touche is one that has a program called Mass Career Customization, where you can customize your career for what makes sense for the individual as opposed to the organization. Now, medicine gets a little tricky. In business, you know, there's always this sort of path, and I'm a business school professor, so traditionally we teach our students, you know, if you want to be successful in business, you climb this sort of linear path to success. But what organizations are starting to realize is that people have lives outside of work, and maybe there are multiple ways to be successful. A linear path is one way, but there are other ways to sort of customize your own career. And in medicine, I think you're finding, and cardiology is probably, given what Sheen is pointing out, might be a little bit more tricky, but trying to chart sort of your own course to success as opposed to sort of following what it means to be successful and all the things that you have to do to be successful in that realm.
Claudia Golden, I mean, these alternative paths, have you, in your conversations as an economics professor with other businesses or business leaders, have you found that there's a willingness to consider alternative paths, or is it just this is how business is done and these are the costs of people who want to enter our field?
We generally don't talk about alternative paths. The accounting firms have really put it up front. Although I must say that I haven't gotten their data yet, so I'm not quite certain exactly how successful they are. In other fields, it happens because the invisible hand of the market does it. In pharmacy, for example, look around you. You don't see a lot of owner-operated pharmacies anymore, and you see a lot of female pharmacists. The same thing is true in optometry. There are changes that are being made in veterinary medicine.
And there because are changes, of the number of women entering
and because
the field.
Of the, in veterinary medicine, 77% of all new veterinarians are women. I would say, first of all, kudos to Sheena, the cardiologist, for doing what she's doing. There are too few female cardiologists, and now we know exactly why.
Well, if you're talking about the invisible hand of the marketplace, though, I mean, I wonder, I was reading that in 2009, some 40% of women with children under the age of 3 were outside the labor force, and that was up from 1998, where 38% of women with children under 3 were outside the labor force. And there is some evidence, it seems, that women in their 30s and 40s are not actually entering or re-entering the labor force as much as they used to. So that's the invisible hand maybe working in the other way, keeping women out.
I think that the jury's still out on this, and a lot has to do with the ages at which women are having their first child. If you're having kids much later, exactly as Rebecca said, she waited to have her kids. If you want to have two, you better have them fast, and then you take more time off.
Let's get one last call in here. Martha is calling from downtown Boston. Welcome to Radio Boston, Martha.
Oh, yes. Thank you for having me. My name's Martha Shaw, and I was in the media business. And I wanted to ask you, what I saw was women having children were becoming entrepreneurs as no other option. And I was wondering if you've seen an increase in women entrepreneurs and women-owned businesses.
Martha, thanks for your call. Claudia Golden.
Absolutely. In our sample, half of the women who said that they were working part-time were employing themselves.
Hmm. And Jamie Ledge, last question goes to you about sort of...
Can I just also just...
Sure, absolutely.
In there. Women are actually the fastest growing segment of entrepreneurs in this country right now. So I think, and one of the, obviously the biggest reasons is to balance the, you know, work-life.
Mm-hmm. And Jamie, I just wanted to throw the last question to you. I mean, obviously there's so much more in this issue that we could talk about, but I did want to ask you, I mean, there are things that could make it easier for both men and women who are choosing to take time away from work to you know, be with their families or to be on maternity or paternity leave. Part-time work opportunities, maybe preschool programs, other ideas that are floating out there?
I mean, I think things have to happen at what I see is multiple levels. I think, you know, teaching in a business school, as I said, I always teach my students, my undergrads especially, that they need to think about their careers, that they probably already are thinking about their careers differently. I mean, this is a generation that, you know, is different from prior generations. They want flexibility, but they need to figure out how to ask for flexibility and how to get it in an environment, a corporate environment that doesn't necessarily lend itself to that. So to think about how to customize their careers.
Well, and Jamie Ledge, Assistant Professor of Management and Development at Northeastern University and affiliate of the Boston College Center for Work and Family, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome.
And Claudia Golden, Professor of Economics at Harvard University, thank you for joining us as well. And one last little note here. Today, the Supreme Judicial Court actually ruled on something exactly on this topic, on maternity leave. They ruled that the women are entitled to no more than 8 weeks of unpaid maternity leave without fear of losing their jobs under Massachusetts Maternity Leave Act, even if employers offer them more time off. So an 8 week cap of unpaid maternity leave in Massachusetts, ruled by the SJC today. There's much more after the break. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.